good morning to you, Tucson, and all of Southern Arizona. Welcome live out of the Common Workspace Studios, Tipping Point with Zach Yenser on AM 1030, KVOI, The Voice, daily in-depth news, conversation, and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. I'm your host, Zach Yenser. Happy Friday to you this first week of 2022. Hope it was a good one. That treated you all right. And thanks for being with us here, morning drive time every day, Monday to Friday, 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Happy Friday to you. Looking forward to our conversations today. We're going to close on a high note. Crystal Johnson will be on the line with us, the general manager of Hub Ice Cream. Local ice cream parlor is debuting new line of treats featuring superfoods. So if you still want ice cream and tasty treats but want to feel good about doing it, we've got you covered here on Tipping Point. But our guest interview to get us started today and to close out the week is one I've been looking forward to for some time, and that is with Tucson's new police chief, Chad Kazmar. We're going to talk about a wide variety of topics. His first appearance on Tipping Point, I think ever, but certainly since becoming the new chief of police in the city of Tucson. That's our show today. Join us now on the live line, 520-790-2040, is Tucson Police Chief Chad Kazmar. Chief, welcome aboard. Good to be with you today.
Morning, Zach. Thanks for having me on.
So I want to give our listeners a little bit of background on you in terms of your background in TPD, which is law. First of all, I just want to personally say I was very enthused when I saw not only did Tucson's mayor and council not decide to go down a path of a of an 8-month search, which is what happened with Chief Magnus, but that they promptly began and finished the process, and that it was you, Chief. I was very excited as a community member to see that you were the guy and that the succession planning that had been happening all along was happening, and I think your service in the department speaks for itself, and so very glad that, you're the guy now. Give us your background in the police department. You've been there for a number of decades now. Tell our listeners what got you here.
Yeah, thanks, Zach. Like you, I want to echo the leadership and decisive decision-making of city leadership on giving me the opportunity as an internal candidate to lead the organization. That's not something that happens throughout the country right now. We should certainly celebrate the fact that our leadership had the courage to make that decision. But to your foundational question of, I think part of that is, of course, we give some credit to Chief Chris Magnus for developing the right leadership team. It's a collective team that's ready for the challenges ahead. But, you know, having almost 22 years in this community of public service and developing relationships not only within the department, but within the community and within the elected officials and the leadership team, you know, kind of all those things came together in the perfect time and opportunity to give me the opportunity to run the department. But I've had a variety of assignments from our traditional, I cut my teeth and grew up in Operations Division Midtown, where I was a patrol officer. We didn't start in the beautiful facility that we have today, but actually in Steve Kozacek's now ward office was my original home here at TPD. But I've had an amazing career, and I've gotten to do a lot of fun assignments from patrol to bicycle officer to a motor officer to a first line supervisor, and then doing patrol work again in a supervisory capacity, and then it led to other special assignment jobs of plain clothes, and I fell in love with undercover work. And then I started having children and decided I needed to be home a little more, and that's when I started testing for leadership positions at a middle and upper management position.
Got it. Chad Kazmar is with us, the police chief, new police chief for the Tucson Police Department here in Tucson. Chief Kazmar, the fatality rates for vehicle fatality rates last year were 83 traffic fatalities as of December 20th. And of course, we've talked about a lot in this community. It's now national news. We've mentioned it a number of times on this show. 94 homicides this year, again, as of late December in 2021. Not only beat the last record high of homicides in the city, but zoomed by it considerably. In a recent interview with the Arizona Daily Star, you mentioned this, and this is a quote: "We are not going to tolerate another year of 80 plus fatalities in our community." You're of course mentioning the 83 traffic fatalities and 94 homicides. What does a Chief Kazmar approach to the department look like that may be different and or is going to be tougher on the causes of these deaths in our city at a record level in 2022?
So I appreciate that, Zach. And we actually, the numbers are still, we still have some people in critical condition, but the year ended one shy of 2020's record at 88. Two additional fatalities that occurred while we were out, and I was participating in a regional DUI enforcement effort on New Year's Eve to keep our community safe. So I think it starts with a lot of things, and I think we just need to recognize that the police department is just one stakeholder when we talk about environmental factors or things or situations that are facing our community, and traffic safety is one of those. And part of that conversation needs to include enforcement. And so, you know, what we know through our data is that when COVID hit, like a lot of things in our world, we reduced our staff's exposure through contacting with proactive enforcement. And I think we need to evaluate how that last 2 years of that strategy impacted both our violent crime and our traffic safety. And I think, as we're all kind of settling into continued new variants that come out with COVID, that our lives need to continue. And we're a major city with major city challenges, and traffic safety is one of those. So the way I'm tackling that is, first, we need to talk about it so we can create awareness. And so thank you for all your listeners that are you know, either driving in or at work. And, you know, have the conversation today in your lunch break room or when you go home. What we know, Zach, is that speed and alcohol and narcotics tend to be interconnected when we talk about our fatalities. But your listenership also on the way in today, I guarantee you they saw somebody run a red light. I guarantee you that they saw somebody texting while they were driving and they were distracted. We probably saw some aggressive driving with speeding. And we're talking speed, Zach, not over 5 miles an hour, but we're talking speeds over 20 miles an hour on residential in our arterial streets on our in our community. So those are things, again, that we can all do a better job and be a little more aware and just recognize that slowing down 5 or 10 miles an hour isn't going to impact your ability to get to work on time, or you can leave a little bit earlier. But I am trying to re-inspire and invigorate my staff to make those contacts on the aggressive driving, the moving violations, and the speeds that are contributing to our deaths in our community.
We have two segments this morning with Tucson Police Chief Chad Kazmar. Last quick question before our first break here, Chief. You mentioned the traffic fatalities. No one really seems to have a good answer to why Tucson joined the rest of the country in a very high violent crime rate. But for Tucson locally, this was the deadliest year in Tucson city history. In your mind, you've worked at all levels of this department. Why? Why was this the deadliest year?
Well, as you noted, Zach, we're unfortunately in good company with most major cities on seeing that rise. One of the strategies and conversations that we're having within the Tucson Police Department is, let's be the leadership team in the country that figures out some creative solutions. Again, recognizing that we're just one stakeholder in this conversation. But we did end the year with 93 homicides. And that's, you know, let that number resonate and shock you and shock the listeners. And what we know about these is there's a variety of different types of engagements and interactions that resulted in this. But 80 of those involved a firearm. Over 10 of those involved either road rage type incidents, and over 21 of those were fights. So, you know, I think in the world, I think we all know the world's a little more polarized than we've seen in the last few years. I think people have shorter fuses and tempers in the COVID environment. I think we have to have a conversation around poverty as we move forward and the financial challenges that folks in our community are having. And so there's just a lot of different factors that go into why these types of situations occur. Mm-hmm. But again, on you know, I don't think that we need to be a victim to that as a community. I think we need to talk to our youth. We saw youth numbers almost double over the last few years. And so that's a conversation we need to have on how we're engaging the youth of our community and the future leaders and making sure that they're not putting themselves in positions to be victims of violent crime.
We're with Tucson's Police Chief Chad Kazmar right now. We're going to go to our first break of the hour. When we come back, part two of this conversation, Chief Kazmar's debut on Tipping Point as the chief of Tucson's Police Department. We'll be right back here on 1030 The Voice. Don't go anywhere. We're just getting started.
The people of Tucson, 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk.
Why I love where I live. It's a brand and movement that began here in Tucson to spark gratitude and celebrate the good things about where we live. Located in the open-air Mercado San Agustin Annex just west of downtown, it's a great place to shop or spend time with friends as you enjoy food, drink, and other shopping options close by. Find gifts, toys, books, and clothes that will help you celebrate where you live. Visit them at the Annex off the I-10 at Cushing and Avenida del Convento.
In 2021, FC Tucson was just getting started. We're building something special that all of Tucson can be proud of. Don't miss FC Tucson in action in 2022. Secure your season tickets now at fctucson.com or call 520-600-3095 and download the FC Tucson app in the App Store or Google Play to get updates on MLS preseason as FC Tucson welcomes the biggest teams in U.S. soccer in January and February.
The economy is moving forward, and Arizona businesses are looking at new opportunities and challenges as we emerge from COVID-19. Leading companies are planning how to respond to new business and rebuild their teams and are looking for critical talent now. The right talent in key positions will make all the difference, and having a trusted and dedicated talent acquisition partner will give you an edge. Devin and her team at Talent Store will connect you with top talent while positively impacting time to hire, retention, and your employer brand. Learn more by visiting yourtalentstore.com and scheduling time with Devin and her team.
Helping you make better money decisions is what the Ramsey Show is all about. Today at 1 p.m. on 1030 The Voice.
And we're back, Tucson and all of Southern Arizona. Good morning to you. Tipping Point on AM 1030 KVOI The Voice. I'm your host, Zach Yen. So we're on right now with Tucson's police chief, new police chief, Chad Kazmar, stepping in for former police chief Chris Magnus as he left for a federal position. Mr. Chad Kazmar is now the guy, and I'm personally very happy about it. Chief Kazmar, one of the things that I found interesting after I did a deep dive on what Americans overall were thinking about policing and community safety in a post-George Floyd world. And I was interested, even in the aftermath of that really horrific occurrence last summer, that Americans want a three-legged stool around public safety. They want fully staffed and funded police departments. They want better accountability, better consequences where it's needed. And they want to see police departments that are a part of that ecosystem where we are trying to solve and manage the things that create more violent crime before they happen. I think the American people are right on that. And so I've got a couple of questions for you, Chief, related to those things. First, the city has lost around 100 police officers in right around 2 years. We're seeing officers retire and leave at a much higher rate than we're training new ones. Our public safety communications department is at half capacity and has been performing under the national average of response time for most of 2021. I have to imagine those two things are near, if not at the top of your priority list as you're stepping in, Chief Kazmar. What do we do about that? How do we get those numbers back up to at least par?
Great question, Zach, and I agree with all three points that that Americans are looking for right now that you just read off to us. So I think there's a couple things I think we have to think about. And it's not just the post-George Floyd era, too. It's in the pandemic era, and it's in an era of the Great Resignation and how we attract our youth to be excited to work for the city of Tucson or as part of the public safety team, which does include our emergency communications, as you've noted, police and fire, because the police, the field responders can't do our jobs the way we need to if our emergency communication center isn't staffed the way that it should be. So thank you for providing the opportunity for really your listeners to understand we're one team. And if one team's not healthy, it impacts the other team, especially in a world where we want to start peeling off and being more thoughtful on what type of resource that we send out to an emergency. And so the current environment, what that provides a public safety team is an opportunity to evaluate, hey, you know, this is a call where someone's in crisis and maybe it warrants a co-response model where a mental health clinician and an officer go out, or maybe there's no danger there, it's just somebody who's really struggling and it doesn't warrant a police officer response at all. But we have to recognize that you need a properly staffed communication center to have the time to have those conversations versus just generating a call and sending it out to a police officer.
Chief Kazmar, just a quick follow-up on that. Are you content? Is that to say you're content with the number of officers that we have on staff in the Tucson Police Department? I think officers on the ground would say, you know, we need at least 900 to 1,000 in a city of our size, if not more, and we are hundreds below that right now. Will you be pushing for higher numbers of officers on the force in years to come?
I will, Zach. So I'm absolutely 100% not satisfied with my staffing levels, whether it be our what we often talk about is our commissioned officers out in the street or our community service officer positions or even our professional support staff positions that the department depends upon for this big machine to work. And so let's dive into those numbers a little bit. You're right, Zach. We lost 99 officers last year through attrition, and only 42 of those 99 officers retired. So our attrition levels have historically been around 6%, which I think is still too high, but the last 2 years we've seen that rate be about 8%. I think for some of the things that we've discussed, and, you know, just being real, it's a tough time to be a police officer. We give these young men and women 9 months of training and a body-worn camera, and you know, we pat them on the back and we say, good, you know, go face all these challenges. And the reality is it takes 3 to 5 years for an officer to really develop a well-versed skill set for all of the things that they face as a generalist. And so we need to evaluate that. So, you know, the first thing is we have 881 sworn positions commissioned, and we have 759 of those filled with 48 folks in the training pipeline. That means I have about 122 deployable vacancies. 105 of those are operational positions like police officers and detectives, and 17 of those are management. And, you know, one of the things that's going to be a focus for me is I'd really like to see the department as the next step of a goal to be focused on 900 commissioned. And I would love to get my 87 authorized positions of CSOs a goal up to the 200 to 300 range. And if you'll give me a minute, I'll dive into just what a community service officer position means to this community, if that's okay with you.
Sure, yeah. I have one more question for you, Chief Kazmar, but I think I can fit it in the next 5 minutes. Please share about the CSOs.
Great, Zach. Thank you. So our community service officer is a position that we can hire our community members at 18 years of age. So we can really work with the local high schools and celebrate the fact that not everybody's ready or is interested in going to college. We have an amazingly diverse community to recruit from, and we can start these young adults out. And they can be the breadwinners and make higher than our mean average income here in Tucson is $44,000. They'll start higher than that as a day one as a community service officer. But these young adults, what they do, and they're not all young adults, actually. We have a variety of ages of folks that we recruit for this job. But what they do is they support the non-emergency work out in the field. And what's really exciting about this position is that some of these individuals ultimately become police officers. So we, in some sense, we get to raise our own community members at a time where they might make some decisions that ultimately keep them from becoming police officers. But really, that could be the future of a 900, 300 range positions, which would allow us to provide the service that we want to this community.
We're with Tucson Police Chief Chad Kazmar. Chief, I could talk about this with you for an hour, and someday if you're down to do that, I'm down to do that, but I have four more minutes with you, and I want to ask this. Certainly on the heels of Officer Ryan Remington being fired 2 days ago for shooting Mr. Richards, a man in a motorized wheelchair, who was 9 times in the back. You know, I'll go on record on the air saying I think that was the right decision. I think folks who are pro law enforcement officers have to be on the front lines of saying, look, you don't have margin to mess up like that. That was unacceptable. The firing should have happened. It's not okay. I think the first question on many people's minds is, okay, we get tougher on traffic violations. We get tougher on community policing. There's always that danger of over-enforcement of the law that impacts communities of color first and most. How does a strong and effective Tucson Police Department under Chief Kazmar be tough on the crime that needs to be tough on, but also make sure that there's accountability and not over-enforcement of the law?
Great and fair question. It starts by really us having strategic goals that we're focused on and making sure that we're giving our staff the tools and the training that they need to be successful. It also requires engagement from a community perspective. So if we're feeling a violent crime increase in a certain area of town, that we are working with that neighborhood and the leadership from that community to make sure that we're doing our enforcement activities on the people that are negatively impacting, and not just going in a broad, sweeping, overreaching enforcement effort.
Chief Kazmar, that was a short and sweet answer to the question. Anything else? I've got about a minute and a half before we have to cut you loose. Anything else you would like to say to the listening Tucson community as you're stepping into the role?
Yes, Zach. And just in closing, I want to say I am excited, beyond excited, to be here and to take on this responsibility. I have a lot of stakeholders that I've been meeting with, from my operational staff, our leadership, elected officials, to community, to the business owners. If you've got something you want to talk to me, make sure you're reaching out to me, chad.kazmar@tucsonaz.gov. We also need our help recruiting. Let me plug that, jobappscloud.com. We're hiring for recruiting for police officers, record specialists, and, as you noted, a public safety communication specialist. So lots of work to do in this community, but there's a lot of stakeholders that need to be engaged for us to really be proud of the 33rd largest city in this country, which I know we can be as a Tucsonan.
Absolutely. Chief Kazmar, once again, thank you. And I'll be reaching out to your team to try and do this more frequently. There is a metropolitan majority, Chief, around this country, and we certainly see it here in Tucson, of all backgrounds, of everything, who want, first and foremost, a safe neighborhood and a safe community. I think this is one of the most important things we can be talking about and touching bases on with our public safety leadership. So thank you for being open to these conversations, and I'm looking forward to more of them as the year goes on.
Happy to come back whenever you need me, Zach.
Thank you, Chief. A happy new year to you and your family, and we'll talk soon.
You as well, sir.
Tucson, that does it for our top of the hour featured guest interview. Tucson Police Chief Chad Kazmar, appointed just recently by the Tucson Mayor and Council. Thankful to them for not doing a prolonged process. Thankful to them for making Chief Kazmar the guy. I think it was the right decision. We'll be back after a short bottom of the hour news break. A few words from me. We'll take your calls. And then we'll hear about a local ice cream parlor debuting a new line of treats featuring superfoods. You can stay healthy and enjoy some sweet things here in this new year. And Crystal Johnson from Hub Ice Cream will tell us how. We'll be right back with more on Tipping Point 1030 The Voice.
In 2021, FC Tucson was just getting started. We're building something special that all of Tucson can be proud of. Don't miss FC Tucson in action in 2022. Secure your season tickets now at fctucson.com or call 520-600-3095 and download the FC Tucson app in the App Store or Google Play to get updates on MLS preseason as FC Tucson welcomes the biggest teams in U.S. soccer in January and February.
Tucson, your Tucson Museum of Art is pleased to present the Patrick Martinez Look What You Created exhibition. In his first solo museum exhibition in the American Southwest, Los Angeles-based artist Patrick Martinez explores sites of personal, civic, and cultural loss sustained over recent years in America. Opening just this month through April 24th, you can go see it in the Kasser Family Wing of Latin American Art. TucsonMuseumOfArt.org to get your tickets now.
The economy is moving forward, and Arizona businesses are looking at new opportunities and challenges as we emerge from COVID-19. Leading companies are planning how to respond to new business and rebuild their teams and are looking for critical talent now. The right talent in key positions will make all the difference, and having a trusted and dedicated talent acquisition partner will give you an edge. Devin and her team at Talent Store will connect you with top talent while positively impacting time to hire, retention, and your employer brand. Learn more by visiting yourtalentstore.com and scheduling time with Devin and her team.
Life isn't about money, but how you handle money impacts everything. The Ramsey Show, today at 1 on 1030 The Voice.
And we're back, Tucson and all of Southern Arizona. Good morning to you. If you're just joining us, welcome live out of the Common Workspace Studios. You're listening to Tipping Point with Zach Yenser on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, daily in-depth news, conversation, and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. This segment is sponsored by Little Love Burger. They opened downtown last fall, a few doors down from the Rialto Theater. They're serving up the juiciest burgers, loaded hot dogs, have ice cream, milkshakes, local brews, and breakfast sandwiches. You can follow them on social media at Little Love Burger to find out their opening hours and, again, their location a few doors down from the Rialto Theater. And speaking of Hub ice cream milkshakes, Crystal Johnson will be with us in a few short moments, the general manager of Hub Ice Cream, a local ice cream parlor debuting this weekend a new line of treats featuring superfoods. And listen to this. Here's some of the ones that we'll ask them about. They've got Guac This Way, Berry Fit, Pretty in Pink, and a bunch of other superfood combinations of sweets with superfoods. I'm looking forward to hearing from Crystal what that all looks like and how we can go get a taste this weekend. But not only is it good, it's just good news to end the week of the first week of 2022 that you can be healthy and enjoy sweet things at the same time. It's the good news that we all we all want to hear from our friends over at Hub Ice Cream. So that is coming up. We just let go Chief Kazmar, the new police chief for the Tucson Police Department. He was our top of the hour featured guest as the new chief of police for the Tucson Police Department, replacing former chief Chris Magnus, as Chief Magnus took a federal position to close out 2021. And if you missed it, a lot of my questions revolved around the fact that we had 93 or 94 homicides this past year, that we had over 80 traffic fatalities in 2021. My first question was to the chief. You were quoted as saying, "We're not going to tolerate another year of that." So what does that look like? What does that different approach look like? We also addressed the fact that the city has lost around 100 police officers in 2 years, and that our 911 public safety communications department is at half capacity and has been underperforming the national average of response times for most of 2021. And by the way, if you're listening and you'd like to step into that situation, they are hiring for all of it. You can listen back to the interview on our podcast if you'd like to join the city of Tucson's team on the public safety side. So those were some of my main questions and some thoughts that came to mind real quick. A few words from me, and then we'll go talk some ice cream to close out the hour. It was good news to hear that there are, I think it's 40 plus people who are currently going through the training academy. Here is the reality, and I hope the reality changes, but in 2021, there were about 30 individuals that will make it through academies in Tucson. And there's, I believe, only 1 to 2 academies a year. And so when we lose a high number of officers It's not like we have a pipeline or we are hiring those folks back. I think one of the things, I'll have to listen back myself, but Chief Kazmar said of those 100 officers that we've lost, a little less than half were retiring. In other words, the subtext was that the other 50% plus of those who left were leaving for other reasons. Either they wanted a career change, either they wanted to work somewhere else, either they were poached by another department. We didn't have time to get into that, but we know that all of those things are happening. And I find it interesting when I chat with some of the elected members of the council, and I ask the similar question of how do we keep our officers around? The conversation always starts with, we're confused that we gave a significant pay raise, which they did, and I commend them every time for it. Excuse me. It was a market-based analysis that needed to happen. Tucson's police officers needed the pay raise they got. They got it, and this is a major step in the right direction. But what makes the difference? And I think what makes the difference is that there is a distinct culture in Tucson right now that has a difficult time saying thank you to our public safety and law enforcement officers. We need you, and I have your back. And in my mind, and I could be very wrong, and I welcome anyone to call in or message me and say you're wrong, this isn't gospel, but I think that that culture is missing. And by the way, I think that the American people, by the numbers, are correct to say that we want three things. And I mentioned this to Chief Kazmar, and I know he agrees. A fully staffed and supported and funded police department. A better accountability and consequences when things go wrong. And a better ecosystem that makes less crime happen in the first place, and when it happens, that there are restorative solutions to the things that can be restored, right? We want the hard criminals in prison, but we also need to find restorative ways to get community members back out into society as active society members. This is by the data what Tucsonans, what Americans, what people all around this country want out of their police department. And for the life of me, I can't figure out why it is so hard to, in the same breath, say, we need you for this community to be successful. We need the right number of you, and we need the right people on the force to keep this community safe. Our economy, our livelihoods, our wages, everything depends, at least in part, on a community that is safe and secure. And at the same time, when things go wrong, there will be consequences. It's why I said I always take a step back, and you've heard me on this show. I do not jump to conclusions. When there is an issue of law enforcement misbehavior, again, whether it was the culinary dropout situation, whether it was at the Lowe's last month or shortly before, I don't come on the air and give you my opinion right away, because I think the facts on these things are often slow and complex, and I find that the first 48-hour response is usually not the most fully accurate. It's just my opinion, just my style. But I've seen the video, you've seen the video. Ryan Remington, for almost 5 years, I'm sure was a dedicated person on the force, but 9 shots were not required to be fired. And letting him go, I think, was the right decision. I believe it was the right decision. As a community, we have to say there's going to be strength with accountability. And I think we can say that in the same breath. We're not saying it in the same breath. And my gut hunch is that if there was a culture of one team where our law enforcement officers felt like a valued member of that one team, that we would have a different culture in this community. And I think we've got to find a way to say both in the same breath. And we're not doing that in this community. So you can pay market parity, and that's the floor. That's just the status quo. But there has to be a culture of saying our fire department, our police department are absolutely vital, and saying that. It's a morale thing more than I think it is a pay theme. Pay contributes to morale, but it's not the only thing that contributes to morale. And unless we figure out how to agree as a community on not only how to get those 100 police officers back, but how to get our police department staffed to where it needs to be, to get our 911 public safety communications department where it needs to be, until we get those things where it is and even grow those things to where it needs to be, a lot of the other things we're passionate about in this community just aren't going to happen. Whether it is community engagement, whether it is traffic violations, whatever the case may be. So that's always my thought on these conversations. All right, I want to go to our final break of the hour. By the way, we're moving on to talk about ice cream, and thank God, it's the way I want to end Friday. If you want to get back in on this public safety conversation, we got to have it. We got to figure out as a community the right solutions to these things. This is the most vital conversation, one of the most vital that we should be having. zyenser@gmail.com. Shoot me an email. Let's have a conversation off air. We're going to go to our final break. On the way back, Crystal Johnson, General Manager of Hub Ice Cream. We're talking sweet treats and superfoods. You can enjoy a sweet thing and feel good about doing it at Hub Ice Cream. That's what I'm taking from that. We'll be right back after a short break.
Everywhere in between. 1030 The Voice. Trusted local news and talk.
Why I love where I live. It's a brand and movement that began here in Tucson to spark gratitude and celebrate the good things about where we live. Located in the open-air Mercado San Agustin Annex just west of downtown, it's a great place to shop or spend time with friends as you enjoy food, drink, and other shopping options close by. Find gifts, toys, books, and clothes that will help you celebrate where you live. Visit them at the Annex off the I-10 at Cushing and Avenida del Convento. Zach Yenser here. I'm so excited to be a part of the launch of the Little Love Burger this fall here in Tucson. Located just two doors down from the Rialto Theater, Little Love Burger serves up the juiciest scratch-made hamburgers, loaded hot dogs, Hub ice cream milkshakes, lovable local brews, and the most addictive breakfast sandwiches. Starting October 20th, Little Love Burger is open Sunday to Wednesday, 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Thursday to Saturday, 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. Follow them on Instagram and Facebook. Tucson, don't you want some burger to love? Tucson, your Tucson Museum of Art is pleased to present the Patrick Martinez Look What You Created exhibition. In his first solo museum exhibition in the American Southwest, Los Angeles-based artist Patrick Martinez explores sites of personal, civic, and cultural loss sustained over recent years in America. Opening just this month through April 24th, you can go see it in the Kasser Family Wing of Latin American Art. TucsonMuseumOfArt.org to get your tickets now.
After you finish listening to The Tipping Point, listen to my show, The Hugh Hewitt Show, this morning from 10 to noon, right here on 1030 KBOI The Voice.
And we're back to Tucson and all of Southern Arizona here on Tipping Point with Zach Yenser on AM 1030 KBOI The Voice. Debuting this weekend here in Tucson on January 8th and 9th. Is a cheeky play from one of our favorite ice cream parlors on healthy ice cream. Five new flavors from Hub Ice Cream. On with us right now is Crystal Johnson, General Manager of Hub Ice Cream. And Crystal, I cannot think of a better way to close out our last show of the week, to close out Friday, than talking healthy ice cream to start the year here in 2022. Good morning to you, Crystal. How are you?
Yeah.
We had a great conversation, Crystal, with Tucson's new police chief, Chad Kazmar. And as you can imagine, after the deadliest year in Tucson city history, that was a bit of a heavy conversation. And I'm just so thankful to talk ice cream the rest of the way. So I'm so happy you're here. Tell us about the five new flavors that you guys will be debuting around Tucson this weekend and how you came up with the idea.
Sure. So, yeah, we just kind of thought, new year, I always am into doing fun, new, funky flavors, and why not put a healthy spin on it, because everyone kind of always makes these, you know, grand gestures of being healthy. And so, I mean, yeah, our ice cream is locally, has local ingredients, we source locally, and so we kind of went with that and did a whole superfood spin on it. So we came up with some really fun things. Every one of these five flavors that we are featuring are all include superfoods. So we have Guac This Way, which is desert honey and a Mexican avocado ice cream. So it's sweet and creamy. The avocado lends this like really yummy, rich texture to it. The color is green, so hello. We have the other one that we have that is cream-based is our chocolate corn penal. And we do our cocoa, you know, our raw cocoa that we cook into the ice cream. And then I connected with Native Seed Search, and I found this amazing, like, superfood product that has been around for bazillion years, a corn penal. It's harvested in the Gila River Indian Reservation in Sacaton, and it's just a super high protein, high energy superfood. It kind of has this kind of meaty, smoky flavor. It blends perfectly with the chocolate, so it's a high energy, it's a high protein in that. So those are our two cream-based. And then the other three vegan ones we did were, one is, we're calling it Berry Fit, and it's basically like a smoothie. So we make our base, or a sorbet base, and then, which is just cane sugar and water. And then in that we mix acai, blueberries, and pomegranate juice, and we added protein powder. And then that's all mixed in with coconut milk. And it's basically like eating a smoothie. So just work out and come have some Berry Fit. And then our other two sorbets are, one is Pretty in Pink, which is gorgeous. The color of this one is spectacular because it's based off of organic prickly pear cactus juice. We source that from Sherry's Desert Harvest, which is amazing. Her products are amazing. And I mix that with some barrel cactus seeds. Again, I source that from Native Seeds, and those come, they're roasted out of Nogales, Arizona. So I've tried to kind of put a local spin on everything as much as possible. And then our final flavor is golden milk, which has kind of been a fun trend in like lattes and teas and things lately. So I made that basically into a sorbet. So that's a coconut cream-based sorbet with fresh turmeric, fresh ginger, cinnamon sticks, and we steep that all into the base. And so everything, all of these have an organic superfood twist on all of these flavors.
So cool. And this is a part of a special month for Hub Ice Cream. What are you calling the month of January down your way there?
We're calling it Ice Creamer Size. Hub Ice Creamer Size. And so we kind of thought it would be fun to do a fun little 80s spin on it, because why not? Who doesn't love the 80s? And so, yeah, we're doing Hub Ice Creamer Size, and we've got some cute little shirts, all sorts of fun stuff, and we're kind of taking our Ice Creamer Size on the road this weekend. We are teaming up with Food Conspiracy Co-op, where you can also buy all of these flavors in pints at the Food Conspiracy Co-op. And so tomorrow afternoon from 12 to 2, the ice cream truck will be at the Food Co-op, and we will be sampling all of these flavors inside the Food Co-op as well. So they'll feature the ice cream for the month, which is really exciting. And then from there, we're going to go to Tumamoc. So get your workout in. Afterwards, have some Berry Fit or Walk This Way. And then on Sunday, we are going out to Sabino Canyon. Again, after your hike, come have some healthy ice cream and celebrate this gorgeous Southwest.
That is so cool. And that is tomorrow the 8th and Sunday the 9th. Where can people go? And for those who didn't hear it today, where can people go to find those details?
So you can go to our Instagram or our Facebook, which is Hub Ice Cream. Or you can go to our website, which is, again, hubicecream.com. So it's got all of our information on all of that, all over.
Very cool. The other thing that I don't think you've mentioned yet is I love this. There are a few gyms and fitness studios around town that will receive a dollar off these limited superfood flavors after classes. I love that idea. Where are people eligible to get that dollar off?
Sure. Yeah, so we've got kind of, we partnered with some of our local neighbors. So we've got Fit Tucson, which is two doors down from us, Yoga Oasis, again right there, and Let's Sweat. So all members of any one of those workout studios can come in and get a discount for the whole month, which is awesome. And then we're also doing some fun giveaways every Monday through Instagram. You have to like us and follow us on Instagram and contact us through Instagram. And we're doing $25 giveaways every Monday throughout the whole month of January. And the last day of January is a Monday, so that's eligible too.
That's so cool. Again, we're with Crystal Johnson, if you just jumped in this morning, general manager of Hub Ice Cream, featuring five new flavors. I believe it's five. Yeah, five flavors that are featuring superfoods along with some sweet treats, of course, and guac this way, chocolate corn pinole, berry fit, pretty in pink, and golden milk. Crystal, tell us a little bit about 2021, how you guys have been managing through kind of the always changing business environment that everyone's facing all around the country and of course beyond, and give us a little bit of a hint at what 2022 might hold for you guys.
Right. So, I mean, Tucson is so great and so supportive of just supporting each other locally, which is what I really love about Tucson and how we can kind of grow within ourselves, even in the middle of this crazy pandemic that we're in. So even though it's been crazy, we kind of powered through, of course, you know, using all precautions, you know, during pandemic, masks, gloves, all that typical, but, you know, sanitizing. But we've just, you know, tried to do something different, new flavors every week, trying to do different community activities, get involved with other local partners, just moving forward to support each other. And, you know, considering everything, I felt like we had a really great 21 and we're really looking forward to 2022. Again, partnering with local businesses, kind of like we're doing with this, sourcing local ingredients from other local partners, and then coming up with some new fun flavors, doing some fun creative stuff. We really would like to do more with the ice cream truck that we debuted last year, but again, during the pandemic, we weren't, you know, as active as we wanted to be with the truck. So we're hoping this year to do a lot more with the ice cream truck, do some different fun activities, and then partner. You know, besides coming into the shop, we sell the product in so many different, you know, locations throughout other restaurants, a couple other resorts. We have a location inside American Eat Company that is a Hub Ice Cream counter. So we're kind of all over, and we just want to continue growing that and supporting each other and doing it as fun and as safely as possible.
I love it. One of our, just been really excited since this fall, Crystal, to get to share and promote and storytell the launch of Little Love Burger in downtown mm-hmm. Tucson. And they're selling some of your product as well, right?
Yeah, they are. We're making ice cream for their shakes, which is amazing.
Oh, very cool. Yeah, you guys are everywhere and good people, long time. I mean, the Hub family of food experience, that's how I'll put it this morning, has been a staple of downtown. You guys have been on the cutting edge of what downtown Tucson has become, and now you're spreading all over the community in a variety of ways. And I would, of course, encourage our listeners to support Hub Ice Cream and to support your business. And again, your website, Crystal, you mentioned it, but I know folks jump in at different times. Where can people go and find out your website and keep up with where you're at and where they can order the ice cream?
Right. So we're at hubicecream.com, and our Facebook is Hub Ice Cream, as well as our Instagram, Hub Ice Cream. And we're really pretty active on all of that. You can come in. Feel free to contact us if you want to place an order. We have a walk-up window. If you don't feel comfortable popping into the shop, call ahead. We'll put together an order for you, pass it to you through the window. Come on in, enjoy the beautiful parlor if you want. Come in, have some ice cream, take some treats home, bring some treats to friends and family. Yeah.
I love it. Again, we're with Crystal this morning from Hub Ice Cream. Hub Ice Cream is ringing in the new year with a fleet of supercharged flavors featuring superfoods from avocado to indigenous corn. with healthy habits and exercise often a focus during the year. Hub Ice Cream's cheeky play on healthy ice cream includes five new flavors that are debuting this weekend around Tucson. Again, look for them tomorrow and Sunday here in Tucson at places including the Food Conspiracy Co-op, the Trailhead at Tumamoc, Sabino Canyon, and more. You can visit Hub Ice Cream's Facebook page for details, facebook.com/HubIceCream. And I think the one I would want to try first is guac this way. So, Crystal, before we let you go, you mentioned five flavors. What's your favorite of the five? What's your go-to?
Oh, my goodness. I really like the pretty in pink, but I'm a sucker okay. for the prickly pear cactus. And the chocolate corn penal is so different. I've never known anyone to do anything with that, and I discovered that superfood, and I'm like, this is amazing because you can throw that into a smoothie or whatever else. So, they're all great, those two. It's funny, every staff member has a different one that they love, and everyone that's tried them has been either hesitant or dove right in, and no matter what, everyone loves them. It's really
I love fun. It. Well, that just means, Crystal Johnson, there's something for everybody there. So I think that's the good news. Crystal Johnson, General Manager of Hub Ice Cream. Crystal, thanks for being with us today. I really wanted to make this happen ahead of the weekend because I think it's really cool and a great way for people all over the city to experience you. Have a great weekend. I hope it's super successful, and we'll see you on the show again soon.
Thank you so much. It was wonderful. I always enjoy being with you. Thanks.
Absolutely. Crystal Johnson, General Manager of Hub Ice Cream Tucson. That does it for our show today. It always goes by so quick. Hugh Hewitt's up next. Bill Buckmaster at noon, as always. And, of course, we'll be back on Monday the 10th. Some big conversations next week. We'll talk with University President Bobby Robbins about space. Supervisors Matt Hines and Steve Christie will be on the show. It's a full week next week. Keep us on your dial. 9 a.m. every morning, Monday to Friday, Tipping Point with Zach Yenser on 1030 The Voice. Have a great weekend. We'll see you on Monday, Tucson.